Today's guest has been in Santa Barbara for about 23 years, in the mortgage industry for about 16 years, and with Prosperity Home Mortgage for about 2.5 years, and he's been on hold for about 2 hours. No, just kidding. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, John McCuskey.
Thanks, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here again.
Thank you. So Prosperity Home Mortgage is under the umbrella, if I have this correct, of Berkshire Hathaway. Your office is in my office, Berkshire Hathaway. And we have a ton of agents. And I'm assuming the majority of your business is through Berkshire agents, but do agents from other brokers contact you and use you?
Yes, absolutely. And you're correct. So Prosperity is owned by the Berkshire Hathaway massive conglomerate. We do operate as an independent company, and we just share office space with you guys. So we're free to work with clients anywhere that we're licensed in the U.S. Any real estate agent can use us. And I'd say probably, you know, a lot of my business is 50-50 from Berkshire agents and agents that are outside of the Berkshire network too. So yeah, we're flexible to work with anyone.
I would have never guessed that that was the percentages. I for some reason, I was under the impression. But, you know, people working at Berkshire, agents, they've been in the business for, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years. They have relationships with other lenders. So it's understandable that, you know, you can't get everybody's business. But, that, you know, that makes sense.
Exactly. And we have relationships from prior years when I worked at other companies as well. So it's all over the place, you know, and then our past clients are one of our biggest referral sources. So all the people that I've worked with over the last 15, 16 years, you know, my cell phone number has never changed. So for most people, it's they want to work with John, and the sign on the door really isn't the biggest factor.
You know what? I never thought of it that way. You do speak at the office meetings. And we're going to talk today about interest rates and some options and what's going on. But you told an interesting story at the office meeting about an out-of-area lender, and you were very diplomatic, not to disparage every out-of-area lender. But what was that story?
Yeah. You know, it was kind of a little caveat emptor type story, buyer beware. We had a client who owns their home free and clear here in Santa Barbara, and they're looking to buy a slightly bigger home also in Santa Barbara. They needed kind of a bridge loan type scenario. And I usually look at bridge loans as what's the least expensive way to get from point A to point B. It doesn't necessarily have to be a bridge loan. But so in this case, he had gotten a referral for an out-of-town lender from a construction worker that he knew and was friends with. And it sounded great on the phone. They kind of moved through the application process. He sent him some estimates of their fees and everything. And the out-of-town lender essentially didn't ask the borrower what their intentions were with the property, what their long-term goals were, and just put him into the lowest rate product he had with no concern for fees. So, you know, in this one was a unique situation. It was a $2.5 million loan. So that's large in the first place. And he sold the client on getting a VA cash out refinance, which is great in most situations. But if you're going to sell the home within 2 to 3 months, you know, he was charging him 2.5 points in fees. There's a VA charge as a funding fee in this case of about $52,000. So between the points and fees that he was charging this guy, it was over $100,000. And so when that client goes to sell their home in 2 to 3 months, that money's gone for no good use. And they were also doing another refinance on a different property they have, again, with more points and fees. So I looked at this and said, look, that out-of-town lender may not be a bad guy. And I'm sure they do a good job sometimes, but it was just more of a, you've got to look at the big picture here financially. It wasn't just look for the lowest rate. And usually a lot of call centers are trained to sell around that because people look at the rate and they think that's the best situation ever, but they don't look at the cost for a rate or the cost for the total transaction. So thankfully we were able to save him a lot of money, over $100,000 in fees. So, which is crazy to think, you know, most of the times our wins and saves are much smaller amounts, but we'll take anything we can get. And in this case, they are extremely happy. And I joked with him that basically that paid for his kitchen remodel on the new house.
Well, I'm sure you'll get a referral from him down the road. My guest, John McCuskey, Prosperity Home Mortgage, which I guess is a national company, but we have an office here in Santa Barbara, California. You mentioned the bridge loan. I have a dear friend who might want to buy another place and then sell her existing place. And she has the money to buy a new place, maybe a couple of million dollars, without selling. And spoke to her stock broker, and yeah, we could, you call me, we'll get you the money. And I'm going, well, what are they going to sell? What are they going to do with the capital gains? A lot of stock brokerages will loan money against equities sometimes if it's a special client, right? In-house stuff. But if you met her, what would you ask her? I mean, in terms of what would a bridge loan cost her versus selling her equities?
Well, each client has a little bit different of a situation. So it sounds like your friend, if she has a couple million in the bank, or she's got retirement accounts that are sizable or investments, you hit the nail on the head. There's going to be a taxable event if they start liquidating those assets. And so usually I present what I think is the least expensive option. A lot of people will do home equity lines of credit on their current home. That way they can come up with the down payment for the new place without selling any assets. If they're retired, we use the assets as an income stream to qualify for the mortgage on paper. They don't need to sell anything. And then when they sell the old home, they pay off the equity line. So they haven't touched their assets by doing that. In other cases where maybe they don't have large assets in the bank like that, a bridge loan's generally going to cost you, 2 to 3 points in fees on the total loan amounts. So I've seen those fees go anywhere from $20,000 to $60,000, depending on how big the loan is. So, if you're only borrowing $500,000 or $600,000 on the old house and maybe $1,500,000 or $2,000 on the other house, it's not a crazy amount of money. But as these dollar amounts get larger and larger, that's where bridge loans, if it's the last resort, then that's what we have to do. But if there's a less expensive way to do it, then we kind of look at equity lines or even just traditional loans. So just there's a lot of ways to get from point A to point B. And my conversation and questions is always just, how can I do this as inexpensively as possible for you?
Okay, and the home equity line of credit would be maybe something the first thing you would look at.
Yes,
Okay.
significantly less expensive. Because I mean, if you need to come up with $500,000 and you're selling stock or something, we don't know when you bought that stock or how much it's gained or what your tax bracket's going to be. So the tax implications can easily, outstrip the costs of a HELOC.
Right. Well, we'll follow up and maybe have her give you a call, my guest. John McCuskey, Prosperity Home Mortgage. So interest rates are interesting. How would you characterize today's home loan interest rates? I know you send out a weekly chart of interest rates, listing different interest rates and what the current is, what the change is over a week, a month, a year. And I like you list the high and the low for the last 12 months of the different interest rates. First of all, looking at your list, you have a 7/6 SOFR ARM. Do they call it an ARM because the lender is taking an arm and a leg?
If the rate adjusts, you might lose an arm and a leg. That's an adjustable rate mortgage.
And what about SOFR? What does that mean?
It's basically the index that they're going to use to measure that. So they
Okay.
refer to it as a SOFR. You can just Google what it is, and it's going to, when your rate adjusts, they're going to add together the index and the margin. So a lot of times the margin will be 2.5 or 3.5. You add the SOFR in there, and that's what it's going to adjust to.
Another category you have is 30-year VA, and you mentioned your story about the person who was buying a second home was getting a VA. What does that mean? What does a 30-year VA mean?
So it's a loan that's accessible to veterans. So if they have a certificate of eligibility when they serve in the military, it's going to allow them to finance up to 100% of the loan, no down payment. Interest rates are, secured and insured by the government, so they're going to be quite a bit lower than conventional rates. It's really the best loan product out there, in my opinion. So for a lot of veterans, they may not be aware that that's something that's available to them, but from my point of view too, I love working with veterans because they usually follow directions really well. So when I ask them for paperwork, they do a great job at getting it back to me quickly.
Oh,
They've been trained.
that's very good. Yeah, I know it could be scattered sometimes with clients. Another category you have down here is 30-year jumbo. I heard they're changing the name 30-year jumbo to 30-year Santa Barbara.
Well, it seems like everything we're doing here is a jumbo loan these days, so that might be more fitting.
They keep moving the line. What is the current threshold from conforming? Is it conforming to jumbo? Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, there's two conforming buckets, if you will, in Santa Barbara County. The standard loan limit is 832,750. There's another kind of smaller upper bucket that's still conforming that goes up to 941,250. Odd numbers. They're based on area median home prices, census tract data, and income levels. So, depending on the average sales, one might think, well, Santa Barbara is really expensive. Why is our conforming loan limit lower than San Luis Obispo or Ventura or Los Angeles County? You got to remember that a good portion of our population is up in Santa Maria, Lompoc, the North County. So a lot more transactions up there. Income and home prices are different. So we're averaging the whole county across those figures, not just our Santa Barbara local zone.
So you get people who might be buying who have a lot of money, and if they're buying a $2.5 million home and they have a lot of cash, maybe they'll put down enough to get the, is it worth it to get the conforming rate?
Yes and no. Again, where's their money coming from? If it's sitting there in cash, great. If they have to sell stock, it might make sense to borrow a little bit more. Conforming rates are generally a little bit better than jumbo rates. Just depends on the investor we choose. I mean, a lot of jumbo rates are set by an individual bank or a credit union. So those are going to change on a daily basis differently than a conforming rate because conforming loans are traded on the secondary market through a mortgage-backed security, is what they're called. And that functions similar to like a stock that everyone's familiar with, up and down every day. It's a bond. Whereas jumbo lenders and investors like that, they might change their rates once a day, once a week. They're not as volatile. So they can kind of choose to put rates out there that they feel like one day they might be priced really well. And then 3 days later, they say, okay, we got enough loans in. Let's raise the rates a little bit to slow down our applications. So they're controlling their rate market a little bit differently than conforming loans. So it's really case by case on where we send a loan for pricing.
And I know there's, a lot of different type of loans with conforming, but roughly, what can the difference be sometimes from high to low?
Without paying points, which means buying a lower interest rate, I would say right now you're probably that swing could be anywhere from a half a percent to 0.75% in rate, depending on the situation. I mean, we've got rates right now that are 5.875 up to 6.5, depending on if you're buying a condo or a single family home, your down payment amount, your credit score. So there's a pretty wide range. That's why it's tough to say what's the rate today, because everyone has a different scenario for their situation.
Oh, one question. What is the rate today? Just kidding. My guest, John McCuskey, Prosperity Home Mortgage. If someone has a question for you or they want to enlist in the Army to become a to get a VA loan, what's the best number to call you?
805-456-9120.
Okay, John McCuskey, Prosperity Home Mortgage, 805-456 9120. Speaking of spreads, you also have down here 30-year fixed, 15-year fixed. And as of June 3rd, 2026, the 30-year fixed is 6.61%, 15-year 6.13%. So just a little bit less than a half a percent. And I know that depends on the loan and a lot of different things that those numbers might not be accurate for someone who's listening, but could be better or maybe could be worse. But what is that spread? Am I remembering correctly that maybe in the past it might have even been a bigger spread? So if you got a 15-year fixed, you would save even more money?
Yes, yeah, it changes from time to time, and mortgage spreads are just as fluid as mortgage rates. That spread can change every day. 15 years, obviously, if you can afford the payment, they make total sense because the interest savings over 15 years versus 30 are tremendous. So I present that option to people, but usually in Santa Barbara, or even just surrounding areas, our loan amounts are pretty large. So looking at the monthly payment on a 15-year versus a 30-year, we don't do that many of them because that payment can be significantly higher.
Okay.
Yeah. It's
And
a good
then
option for people maybe borrowing 300,000 or 400,000 or less, because if on those smaller loans, you really want to shorten that term up if you can.
or on the other hand, if you do get the 30-year, you can as an option make extra payments towards principal and then
Absolutely. You're stealing my tricks, Mark.
take, well, that's something I did. Take that 30-year fixed and pay it off in 20, 22 years by just and then, if you're going through a period where you don't want to spend the money, you don't do it. So that's a good option. And then also on your chart, you put down 30-year FHA. What is FHA?
Federal Housing Administration. So essentially, an FHA loan historically has been marketed as a first-time homebuyer loan. And the reason that it's been sold on that is they allow as little as a 3.5% down payment. So kind of think of someone that's younger, maybe hasn't had a lot of time to save up a bunch of money. They'll also allow credit scores as low as 580. So again, maybe someone that had some bumps in the road in their credit history or hasn't built up a credit profile. FHA simply allows them to put down a smaller down payment and maybe have worse credit to get into their first home. And then they kind of improve their situation from there on out. They do charge an upfront fee. It's the cost of doing business with FHA. And there is mortgage insurance on a monthly basis with them.
Right. So with Santa Barbara prices, do you do a lot of FHA loans?
We kind of, in the last couple of years, you're leading me to a perfect example of this. When a home prices started climbing, really 5, 6 years ago, we started doing less and less FHA loans because of the conforming loan limits. However, in surrounding areas, we still do a lot in Ventura, Lompoc, Santa Maria. We do a ton up there just because the homes are less expensive.
That makes sense. So the FHA is using the conforming amounts that you gave earlier, 832,000, 941,000.
Correct.
And why did you give, I meant to ask, you gave two thresholds. What is the application for those two different numbers?
So the regular conforming loan limit is nationwide at 832,750. And then there is a high balance conforming limit, which is county dependent. So Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac will still securitize those loans. They'll still underwrite them to their guidelines. But for example, if you're in Hawaii or Alaska, that high balance conforming limit goes up to 1,200,000 and change. So again, it goes back to the prices and the area. So that's why if you're in Riverside County, for example, their high balance limit is the same. It's 832,750 as the regular limit. So we're just a
What do you
little more
mean? What
expensive
do you mean
there.
here in Riverside County? You don't live in Riverside County.
But we do loans there. So we.
So Santa Barbara County is the 941,250, and Hawaii is 1,000,002. Did you ever do the math that if they separated the South County, would our value be closer to the 1,000,002 in Hawaii or even higher?
I haven't, but we've been complaining about that ever since I got in the business.
My guest, John McCoskey, not Scott McCosker, John McCoskey, John McCoskey, a Prosperity Home Mortgage lender here based out of Santa Barbara, but national company. Boy, we're knocking out a lot of things here and a lot of things I didn't even have on my list. So that's really good. Circle back to points and do you see, I mean, this is something you're not involved with. You're not involved in the negotiations. In a very competitive market, a buyer wants to write a really clean offer. It says, here's my money, clean, short escrow, short loan contingency. Do you see buyers asking the seller to maybe pay, a buy down loan instead of them paying 1 or 2 points? To buy down the loan, they ask the seller to do it. Does that still go on?
Yes, it does. I think it happens more often in lower priced areas because of there's more inventory. And I use this example of the time. Let's just say Phoenix, for example. They've got 1,000 homes for sale and they could build 1,000 more tomorrow. So there's a lot of inventory and their days on market might be sitting around a little longer than ours. Whereas here, it seems that there's 2 to 10 borrowers in line trying to buy every home that comes on the market. So in a competitive market, we don't see that happen that much, but in less competitive areas or homes that have maybe sitting around for a little while, we do see that quite a bit.
Right. And it helps, it really helps a buyer out. And if you have a property that's been on the market for a long time, or even here in Santa Barbara, and you're going to make an offer, you could make a, you know, an offer, you could offer a little bit more and maybe ask them to pay some points to bring the mortgage rate down. We're just coming up against the clock to finish up our interview with John McCuskey, Prosperity Home Mortgage lender here out of Santa Barbara, 805-456-9120. Just finally, what kind of changes or how would you characterize today's home loan interest rates? I know, of course, we were in this crazy low interest rate, but how would you compare and discuss interest rates to the past and where we're at now?
Yeah. Well, I started in the business in 2008. I really timed it well there. So, worked for about 7 months and then the collapse happened. And then I came back 2 years later. So, effectively, my entire career from 2010 to current has really been under an environment where interest rates have been manipulated essentially to benefit growth in the economy. So, if we look at quantitative easing from post housing collapse in 2008, and then we had COVID, where essentially rates have been held at or near zero for an extremely long time. And then about 3 years ago, rates shot up to offset the inflation that we'd seen happen here. So most of my career has been in like a manipulated rate environment. And I think now, the previous 3 years into current, we're going to be getting back to a more normalized rate environment where the market's going to set pricing more so than the government, hopefully. I think that's a healthy way to do this. I mean, at one point, we were consistently rates in the low to mid 7% a couple of years ago, and people were still buying homes, and a lot of those people have refinanced by now. But I think going forward, as soon as we can figure out what's going to go on in Iran with the war, we'll probably see rates stabilize. I hope between somewhere between 5 and 6% is a healthy zone. It's going to increase affordability. It's still a reasonably low interest rate, especially if you look over a 20, 30-year history back when rates were 18% in the 80s. If you're getting a rate at 5, 5.5%, I think that's great.
Well, this was great. My guest, John McCuskey, Prosperity Home Mortgage, 805-456-9120. John, thanks so much.
Thank you, Mark. Happy to be here. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.